please be seated. I couldn't help but think who, you know, I asked the question when I write my letter to the legislators, who would Jesus arm, right? It seems to go against the theme, at least in regard to churches, and yet I recall that in the Gospel according to Mark, which is our earliest record, when Jesus shows up in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the troops, you know, show up to arrest him, Peter pulls out a sword, and he had been warned not to carry a sword, and Jesus cuts off the ear Peter cuts off the ear of one of the guys that are there, and it ends up being Jesus' last miracle in the Gospel according to Mark, that Jesus heals that ear, which I just think is significant that we need to offer healing. In my 40-plus years, I'm going to stop. I have these patterns. I'm so old I have patterns, and I just live by my patterns, right? And so I work on my sermon on really hard on Friday, and then on Saturday, all through yesterday, I massage it here and there, and then I send it, you know, by computer to here, and then I print it on Sunday morning. The printer is not working this morning. And so by the time I finally get it, my notes, I have to, because of my eyesight, I triple space things. Everything is single space this morning, so God only knows. In my 40 plus years of being in this professional occupation of clergy, this congregation remains my favorite. Seriously. Some of what makes this congregation so meaningfully delightful has to do with our historic commitments to the issues of justice, equality, educational excellence. Some of what makes it so fun for me is my time in life. I am as comfortably challenged and in dialogue with my strange and unique mixture of what makes me tick as I ever have been. I recommend aging in that regard. Some of the other parts, right? At this point, I don't think I'm getting more daffy. I'm just getting more clear and more comfortable with who I am and what I am committed to doing. And the main thing about this congregation is you. You make it delightful. You make it fun and challenging and intense. A strange thing happens in clergy and congregational growth if indeed we are committed to growing and developing on all boundaries of the equation that is us. We sort of fall in love, I think, which allows us to risk more depth, and that is what we need to be doing. I want to challenge us this morning to risk going deeper and committing ourselves more fully to the development of a community that laughs and plays and educates, serves, and that deepens itself spiritually. I'm going to challenge us to move beyond coming and on some artificial surface just taking. And I want you and I want us to be more fully responsible in creating the type of faith community that God has always been dreaming through us to be and become. I want each of you to step in and up and be a more proactive player, not in maintaining this organization, but in growing this congregation toward what it means to be a place where God is experienced easily, both in comfort and in challenge. There is such a tremendous need for a progressive faith community in our culture. But you know something, people will not often come without invitation from the people that they most trust. An invitation is more than just once, and it is more about committing ourselves to relationship with them coming over a long period of time. Because in the midst of our society, we are often moved around and we just assume that everybody relationally and in their jobs is just moving place to place to place all the time and in some really weird ways. And it appears at times that our relationships are avoidant in nature because we're afraid if we're going to get too close to somebody, they're just going to go off and leave us. I feel that way towards graduate students all the time. But if we didn't have graduate students, how sad our lives would be in this town. There is such a tremendous need that we continue to risk reaching out. We must step into that current of constant change and movement. We must wade into the waters where the current seems most strong and risk getting swept even downstream and as perhaps even being salvific as we do so. It is not wasted time building new relationships, friends, and investing in them. We must live in our present, not in the past, nor in some imagined future. First United is a shoreline rest stop for some of us, a lifetime, and others for just a few years. But since we have to live in the present, we must fully engage and build in the now, and certainly not worry about what used to be, nor even worry much about what the future may hold, but we need to fully engage ourselves now and build today, trusting that the forms of worship and relationships for tomorrow will simply come naturally because we're deeply embedded with them. Our first task here at First United at the corner of 3rd and Woods Crest is to unite in God's presence, be strengthened, comforted, and challenged. We are then to go out and serve what we experience to be God's movement in our lives, returning here with still others to form a community that deeply matters and cares not only for ourselves, but all. We do, I think, two of three things here really, really well. First, we challenge ourselves to intellectual honesty. We insist that our faith seeks to make as much sense as the science that seeks to describe the way our universe works. They are not mutually exclusive. When science is able to bring clarity, we seek to embrace those new awarenesses and integrate them into our faith system. At First United, we seek to embrace science, I like to think, as a spiritual discipline. That is one of the reasons we bother to have solar panels on our roof. Science allows us to take the sun's rays, turn them into electricity, and we believe that science tells us that climate change demands less and less use of fossil fuels. And incidentally, our electric bill in January was $364, where our average month is around $1,200 a month. It's an amazing savings. Moses spent, it's always funny how you get applause in this business. Moses and Jesus spent a lot of time climbing mountains to find God. And today, so many of our most faithful men and women seek God just as faithfully in both the microscope and in the telescope. In 2018, without science, we would be missing not only so many of the wonders of creation, but also not know the dangers of creation. Some choose not to know. At 3rd and Woods Crest, we embrace knowing and acting upon what we know. In that same light of knowing, we know better than to take the Bible too literally in certain places, like this morning's readings, where God tires of the people's complaining and sends snakes to bite them and kill them. What that says about God is really quite horrible. And we have progressed, we have moved beyond such literalistic and simplistic, superstitious beliefs about the stories, and by extension, about God. We can and must do better if we are ever to be known as credible people of faith. The second thing that we do well here at First United is serve those most in need. It is staggering how much you have served and how much you do serve. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, I had to fight my way down that long hallway in our church because there were so many people here at 3rd and Woods Crest deeply and meaningfully engaged in work for those most in need. There was laughing, there was crying, there was relational depth, there was a quest for intellectual excellence, all happening right here. Jesus' followers were here. So were followers of Muhammad. so were followers of Moses. There were more than just a few agnostics and atheists. There were several whiners here as well. And some of the most beautifully innocent children from all over the world that one could ever imagine wanting to be around were also here. On just one day, we had a world of people in our building in ways that make our Sunday morning times rather boring and insular. I'm being more than just a bit critical here, because we have to find ways to be more united with all that happens here, because we won't be able to afford to maintain, as we are currently doing, the division of all the good that happens here. You and I, the Sunday morning crowd, we make it possible for all the other stuff to happen. That's good. But how do we integrate people who find us to be so open and welcoming, to be a fuller and more deeply embedded aspect of what it means to be a community at Third and Woods Crest? I really don't know the answer, but I bet you do. And we need each of us to become more involved in creating community here. It is a reality that in the next 5 years, that this is what most needs for us to happen, not only to survive, but indeed to thrive. Most of us aren't interested in mere survival. So what is it that you can be doing, that I can be doing, we together, to create a community here that your family will want to be a part of, that you would feel proud to invite a friend to experience, to invite a next-door neighbor or work associate, that brings together into an intentional community all those colors, all those diverse backgrounds and economics? How will we do it? I say that knowing that some of us are afraid to invite our conservative religious relatives because I might be challenging that day some long-held Christian religious doctrines, or they might see a gay couple openly embracing and acting like they actually belong here and are an open part of our church family. They might come here, our conservative religious friends and family, and have to deal with the reality that there are other ways to ponder religion and faith than what they have always heard. We might be saying on any given Sunday that Jews and Hindus, Buddhists and Muslims are a valid faith expression, and that on our worst day as Christians, these other faiths might be found more favorable by God than ours on our worst days. How do we humbly proclaim progressive faith values at Third and Woods Crest and not be demeaning of other religious systems or people who have no religion at all? How do we humbly include a world of people into this space, our faith centering time? This is one thing that we do not do well, and we must be better at. If God dreams of a time where the world might act as one, shouldn't we? How will we model all of God's people being together here at Third and Woods Crest? How can we share our building, our resources, our spirit, in a way that invites others to experience this as their community as we experience it as ours? All of us have to step up to the plate. Whether we are 4 or 64, 5 or 85, 6 or 96, I just enjoyed writing that. Next week is our next shared meal together, which I consider to be communion at its finest. Who are you inviting to lunch with us? Who will you shelter into this space and take care of them while they are here? What will you cook that feeds our community? I know what I'm bringing. It's going to be a hot chicken peanut butter spicy mix. It is so simple, really. It is so darn simple what needs to happen to make community deeply meaningful. Who are you inviting? What are you cooking? It is a hope of God that you take this inviting someone, caring for someone, bringing them into community, that you take that seriously. Be the love of God.